Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
My name's Caroline Labouchere, and welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Caroline, thank you so much for being here today. And of course, we are social distancing. I am in Connecticut and you're in Dubai. So it's a little bit of a social distance in this world that we find ourselves in now. And yeah. I'll go into...
If we're next door neighbors, we'd still have to be doing this.
That's right. That is right. And one of the things that has come out of this, you know, if we're looking at any of the positives, is the fact that more and more people are connecting. And they're connecting, and it doesn't make a difference where that person is. When I've been doing this, I, in my own brain, just assume, oh, everyone is, you know, the same time zone as I am, and maybe they're in California, but hey, it doesn't make a difference, and this is great. So what I'd like to do before we get into how you're dealing with the quarantine, with the pandemic, and so on, you've got an amazing story. And it's a story that I think so many women really need to hear, especially now, with everything that's going on in situations that people find themselves in. But you found yourself in a situation back in, was it 2014, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, it was. That's correct. Okay. I mean, honestly, aren't you finding every single day is the same? Is it a weekend? Is it a weekday? Is it Monday? Is it Friday? I have no idea. So give me a date and it's like, brain engage brain.
That sounds great. Well, you're an ex-army wife, not an ex-wife, but an ex-army wife and the mom of two. How did you wind up in Dubai? And then what took place?
David joined the Emirate Army as an advisor. And that is why we came to Dubai. He's working in England and he's offered a job to go and work in Kent in an apartment in a castle, which sounds very lovely, near the sea. And then this job opportunity came up in Dubai. So a cold, drafty apartment in a castle in the south of England or Dubai. 5-bedroom house, swimming pool, made everything. So of course we went for the exciting, never had it before life. And that lasted for 5 years, which was wonderful. I became very Dubai, no manicures. I arrived gray, but very soon after dyed it because there are not many gray people in Dubai.
Okay.
And just, you know, when you move, I don't know if you've moved very often, but if you move, you want to blend to a certain extent.
Yes.
And having moved many times in David's army career, you just want to settle in and move and just be under the radar for a little bit until you find your feet. Which is exactly what I did. And then out of the blue, David lost his job. New contract signed on Tuesday. All the Brits were fired on the Thursday.
Oh, that's got to be absolutely devastating.
It was a bit of a shock. We were not expecting it at all. And so no home. And we have rented all of our married life, having been in the military. And... three dogs, two dogs at the time. We now have three. So two dogs, a daughter at school. And so no home to go back to in England. But I wanted to go. I wanted to pack up what we had and just leave, run away. But David was absolutely adamant that we should stay here and he would find another job and everything would be fine.
That must have been very scary for you.
For me, it was, because, you know, when you're in the army, you have a salary regularly. Right. You have the dentist, you have the doctor. It's a great way of life. And suddenly to have nothing was a shock. I don't want to say it was a good shock, but it...
Did it turn out to be a good shock?
Well, it just straightens everything out. It was horrendous at the time. We probably got the closest to divorce in 28 years that we have ever been. Because he was okay with it to a certain extent. But to me, he wasn't stepping up to the plate. He wasn't as in control as he always had been. He wasn't my colonel husband anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I do. You know, so many women depend on their spouse to take care of everything. They're supposed to be the hunters, the gatherers, and as women, we're supposed to take care of the nest, be warm, be cuddly, and make sure the house is exactly the way, you know, it's supposed to be in the fairy tales.
And that was my choice, and I was absolutely happy with it. I married somebody who was the hunter-gatherer.
Okay.
So it's a little bit like when you marry somebody and they're, I don't know, we do stones, but you marry somebody slim and beautiful and then they completely let themselves go and become completely different. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, of course.
So they're not the person that you married.
The situation wasn't what you were used to.
No, for many years I had relied on him to be in charge, and suddenly, you know, he wasn't anymore. So I found it very hard, and I was pretty poisonous, I would say, probably. No, probably about it. I was horrible. Felt very sorry for myself, but then he did go off to Hawaii in the middle of it, I have to say, so that slightly pissed me off. He was an Ironman and he had qualified for the World Championships in Hawaii, and he went off and did that and left me here in an apartment with no furniture other than the sunbed that my daughter was sleeping on and the mattress that we were sleeping on the floor, with very little AC, no curtains. I mean, just nothing. And he went off to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't very impressed by that. But I called Mum in absolutely floods of tears. And I'm not gonna say she wasn't much help, but I needed somebody else to give me a poke, really, and tell me to man up. And I contacted, just out of the blue, you know how sometimes things happen out of the blue? I must have been on Facebook, and this tarot card reader that I had seen many years before popped up on Facebook. And I thought, oh, I'll just contact her and say hello. And she said, I do phone readings. And I thought, oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to write. Anyway, it was just what I needed. And it was sort of from a motherly point of view, in that she said, you need to take control. You've been sitting there waiting for him to get another job, waiting for him to take control, waiting for him to be the person he was before. How long can you sit and wait for that to happen and sit in the corner crying?
And?
So it took me a little while for it to sink in, but it did.
Okay.
I should add also, during all of that, I had been on citalopram for 10 years or so.
And antidepressant?
Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't afford, because you can only get it monthly and you have to go to the doctor every month. We couldn't afford to do that, so I'd gone cold turkey off the pills. It was just wonderful.
You must have been just a delight to be with.
Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, I lost all my friends. I pushed them all away. because I didn't feel like chatting or talking or being sociable. It was horrid, but it did make me reevaluate myself and my husband, and I began slowly to take control and work things out for myself and decide that I had to be in charge of my life.
Well, you know, it's never too late to realize that, because taking charge of your life, it means that you have control. There are certain things you don't have control over, but you have control over what will make you happy. And, yes. You know, what next step you're going to take, because there's always a next step. So what was your next step?
I was working as a receptionist in a school part-time, just mornings. So I continued with that. And Mimi, out of the blue, my daughter, she had left school. She'd gone to London, and her boss was looking for a grey model. And she showed him a picture of me, and he flew me to London and liked me and gave me this incredible job as a model, which I'd never been before. And I was in British Vogue 8 times in the first year with that campaign.
That's fantastic. And as you said, you were, I think you were what, 54?
I was just before 54.
All right, you were in your 50s. Yes. Never too late to start something new. So yes, you were in British Vogue.
Yeah, it's the old me never would have said yes to that. And I think it's exploring and saying yes to things. My husband's always said, you've got to say yes to everything. There'll be bummers and there'll be, you know, things you wish you hadn't said yes to, but if you say yes and the right opportunity arises, you know, the future is set.
So there were a couple of things that came out of this. One, you started thinking about yourself, and the other, you started taking chances and saying yes.
Yes.
Life-changing.
Yeah, totally. So I now say that before I was standing behind my husband pretty much as a soldier's wife, I was standing behind him, and now I stand next to him, and it's a better feeling. And now I go out in the evenings by myself to events and fly. I went to China by myself and over to LA, and I feel brave. And once you make that first step to doing something brave, it's so exciting that you want to continue doing it.
That is so correct. And that is one of the things that I think you and I have in common, is that we're trying to get this message across to women specifically, that their life, they could take their life into their own hands. They could make themselves happy. They need to take that chance. You know, events in life are happening all the time. And it's what you decide to do with them. And you made a great decision. You said yes. So after you did the modeling, when you got back to Dubai, was it that easy? Did you get jobs up the wazoo?
No, I thought I would. I thought I would come back and they'd all say, oh, that's the lady who was in British Vogue. But no, it wasn't anything like that at all. I came back here and it was more like nothing. It was absolutely nothing. So I joined every model agency here, and it began to trickle along. And I think that I've made a name for myself now here. But people still expect me, not expect me, but I'm still perceived as the old model. When you're sent a job description, it's always old woman, always.
Well, you know, that I heard you talk about this, and I'd like to really delve into this a little bit more, because you're elegant. You got great hair. And you're, you know, the pictures, the modeling, I mean, they're magnificent. And it has nothing to do with, yes, you have the makeup on and you have the right clothes, but you look great. And when they show so many pictures of women who are in their 50s and 60s, and there's a story that I love to tell, so I'll tell it. I don't know whether you ever heard of the TV show The Golden Girls with Bea Arthur. Okay. Now, when I was watching that show, they reminded me of my grandmother, who was in her 70s. And I'll never forget, I was watching a rerun, and Betty White, who played Rose, had lost her job, and she loved also doing charity work. And she has an intervention with Bea Arthur and the other characters. And they say, Rose, you know, it's great that you're doing this, you know, you're volunteering, but you need a job, you need the money. And she looks at them and she says, what do you think I've been trying to do, but who's going to hire a 55-year-old? I almost fell out of bed. I was in my early 50s. I called my sister up. I said, Ruthie, they remind me of grandma. They portrayed women in their 50s.
I am absolutely shocked.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, when you started that conversation, I was going to say to you, please don't tell me they were in their 50s. I remember that. They all had white hair. Did they have white hair? One or two of them had white hair?
Yes.
And I was thinking 70s.
No. And that's the thing. And nowadays, you know, with everything, and it has nothing to do with you know, it's the time. You know, we live in an era now where we can take care of ourselves. You know, women nowadays are taking care of themselves a little bit, you know, better. We can, you know, we don't know what that looks like anymore. So you have to stop saying, oh, you know, 50s is the new 40, 60s is the new 50. What, you know, when you're 100, we're living longer. We're living, you know, we can do more because we, as women, are, you know, coming out a little bit more. You know, we've got a long way to go still, but we've come a long way in certain things.
It's a mindset. We have made the decision that we still can run marathons, that we still can do things for far longer. I went for a job casting recently, and there were I was in the same room as a 35-year-old, and I'm 55. And so the guy says, can you ride a horse? Can you mountain climb? Can you trek? And I said, yes, I can do all of the above. And he said, no, not you, the other lady. They perceived me to be too old for that role.
It's absolutely amazing. So what is your message to women who think of themselves as, well, I'm in my 50s, you know, what am I going to do? I'm in my 60s, what am I going to do? What is your message to them?
It would be wrong to think that. If you're thinking that on now, it would be wrong to think that for the next 40 years, 30 years. If you're thinking that today, are you going to be sitting on the sofa thinking that every single day for tens of years that you've got ahead of you?
Exactly.
You've got a future still. You can do anything that excites you, and that's probably the key, isn't it? You have created this podcast for yourself, your Instagram, your social media. You have created this for yourself, and you're obviously passionate about it, and it shows in your face that you're happy and passionate. And it's hard to find that. And sometimes do you ever wake up in the morning and think, I'm not absolutely 100% sure what I'm doing?
I do that every day. I'm sorry. You know, I started this, you know, not too long ago, last year. And, you know, it's my next act. When I turned 50, that was some time ago. When I turned 60, it was great. To me, this is all absolutely fantastic. You don't know what the next door that you're going to open will lead.
Exactly. The next email that you're going to get. I mean, it can be, or even a message on Instagram. It can be anything, but But I still find myself thinking, I don't know where I'm going with this. I still haven't found my, I have a purpose, and that is to talk to women, which I love doing. My favorite thing is to have coffee with somebody. And I love to touch people and to hug them and human contact, which obviously we can have none of. And who knows whenever we will be able to do that again. But to find your passion is the most important thing. And speaking to 100 people will help you find it, because one little light bulb will light up and you'll be able to follow and find it. Don't you think?
You're talking to the right person here. What I love is you have a blog and you have real, true life stories about yourself. You're not afraid to talk about it. You talked about hormone replacement therapy. You've talked about, you talk about real issues and how they've helped you, not only helped you, but moved you forward, things that you didn't know. So one of the things is that you're now quarantined with your husband, David. Yes. And tell me, he did wind up getting a job in Dubai, and that's why you're still there. How did that happen?
Well, he went in that. Another thing that really pissed me off at the time was that he would go and sit in coffee shops with his bloody computer for hours drinking coffee. And I'd be thinking, how can you, what is this about? You're going and sitting in coffee shops all day enjoying yourself. Yeah, this is what I was imagining. Anyway, he was trying to find a job, applying every day. And then somebody approached him who we had known for a long time and said, we have a business and it hasn't done very well over the last 10 years. Would you be interested in joining us as a partner and taking it on? Well, it's a gym, which has obviously been closed since March.
Okay.
So 40 employees to pay, no money coming in. So we're kind of, we have a home right now. It's a rented home, but we're sort of verging on the same situation as before, except he's not going to Kona in October.
Okay. Well, I don't think anyone's going to Kona in October.
Exactly. Otherwise, he would be there. So again, it's a tricky time, but for the majority of people. But I think that we'll get through it. I know we will get through it, however long it takes. There's not a lot of work for me either. I had my first job today that I've had during this whole pandemic. So yeah, it's tricky. We'll have to see what happens. I don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
But you've set out some challenges for yourself. Let me see. Challenges that you can approach indoors. Tell me about them.
What did I say?
Okay, fine. I'll let you know.
That was my headstand.
Yes. Your headstands, your push-ups. So even while you're inside, and the thing is, those are the things that you write about on your blog. It's uplifting. It's now, I couldn't do any of that, and I'm not doing push-ups. I've never been able to. But it shows that you don't have to just lay down and not, some people are doing puzzles, some people are doing baking, some people
I'm
doing are
doing puzzles too.
Well, I bought 2 puzzles, 1,000 pieces each. So I started the first one. I have about a third of the pieces out of the box on the table. That's as far as I've gone. But, we all have.
The baking is a bad idea. Just like I say, backtracking to your other comment, the baking and the puzzles. I baked like I have never baked before at the beginning of this. What is that about? Why are we all baking?
I don't know.
I was making scones and I was making all sorts of things. My daughter, she's been making banoffee pie. She's been making all sorts of things. And we were both beginning to put on weight and it noticeably. So we nipped that in about a week ago. It must be a couple of weeks. We're now allowed outside. so we can run again, which is what for us as a family keeps the weight down and is our passion, just getting out there and just running every day.
Okay.
But geez, that cooking thing was a bad idea.
Well, don't forget, everyone was inside. You couldn't go out. What were you going to do? And for some families, it brought the families together. It was something to do together.
And but eating together.
Eat together. Well, eating is a central, you know, central thing. So, you know, that did bring people together. Now that the weather's nice and being able to go out, as long as you're smart about it, yes, people are now going out and trying to take off the weight they put on during the baking and cooking, you know.
So we can't live like that. It's just, and it's hard to take it off again. It's possible. I'm almost there, but I'm having to be so strict.
Well, there's a goal for you.
Yeah, I love a goal.
You have an ageless quality, and that's the message that you want to, from what I see, that you want to put out there for women. Now, in Dubai,
you can do all sorts.
Right. And you happen to live in a place where, you know, they don't really talk about age. They try to, you know, put that on the back burner.
That is
so
very true.
You're really out there educating women or trying to inspire women that ageless, as long as we take care of ourselves. And, you know, not everyone is beautiful. But we can all look the best we can.
Exactly. And I love to say to people that if you're happy, it doesn't matter what you look like. If you are happy, it comes out of your eyes. And especially with us all wearing these masks, it doesn't really matter what you look like, does it? But if you're happy, people will see it in your eyes.
Well, that's it. You know, we used to say a smile is the best thing you could wear. Okay, yes. So we can't be out there, you know, but we could be smiling underneath. And
we're smizing the hell out of it, we are. I had to do my job today. We all had to wear masks. And they were just saying, smile, smile.
But it does. It shows, people can tell when you're happy. And you know, if you're happy within, it shows, and it's contagious. It's wonderful.
Yes, it is contagious.
So I've mentioned you have a blog. I know you've been on, you know, podcasts and YouTubes and whatnot. Two things. One, what message do you want to leave everyone with? And two, how can people find you?
Ooh. Look up gray model in Dubai, probably. but I think the message that I want to put across is that it's so important to find a passion, and that you reach 50 and suddenly you can create. Do you think that I'm the person that I have always been, but never allowed to be that person? So you're a child, so you're ruled over by your parents, and then you get married or you go to university or whatever, but you've always got people above you or helping to create your surroundings. You're a mother, you're a wife, and then suddenly you get to your 50s, your children are grown up, and it's your time to do whatever you want that makes you happy. It's your time to be selfish, to spend time on yourself, to learn about yourself, things that you didn't even ever know, and to blossom.
Blossom, I like that. And it's true. And you know, and you have so much more to do. I mean, there are decades left and decades, yes, to tweak what you're doing or find a new passion or just continue doing whatever you're doing. There's no need to stop.
Yes. And to surrender. What David always says that you are, what do you say about the five people around you? You are the average of the five people you spend most time with.
How neat.
Yeah, that really is, isn't it? So if you surround yourself with the positive people, the happy people, the people that want the same things out of life that you do. So if you want to start running, join a running club. Get a bunch of people who are just going to walk. Put it out there on Facebook, whatever group you have local to you. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do groups, are you?
No, but you can do one or two people and you can social distance. You know, there are ways of doing it, especially with technology these days. No, we can't, you know, touch and have groups, but one or two, you know, people, you social distance, you wear a mask, you can go, you know, jogging or walking or even just, you know, a little bit of this Zoom happy hours.
Reach out and speak to the people who inspire you. And then I think that everybody has something inside them that they don't yet know they want out of life.
Okay. And you have a website.
I do have a website. I'm not regular on my website. I should be better at doing that. And I will be better at doing that.
Okay. All right.
That's another challenge.
Well, you know, the articles, the blogs that you have up there right now are very appropriate. They really are. And as I said, you know, before, they're your story.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic story. It's an empowering, it's an inspiring story.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
So your website, even though it's not totally up to date, but you have, I mean, it's pretty good. It's Caroline. I took French years ago. My French teacher made me promise never to speak French.
That's fair enough.
All right. Caroline, I thank you so much. This has been absolutely, what a delight.
It has been lovely meeting you. And I love your energy. And I think it's important to feel something when you're speaking to someone.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.